week we talked about faith and kind of hinted at the area of prayer. This morning we're going to talk about praying, sowing prayers of authority. So Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the examples in your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us things that we need to know, that, Lord, we might be used more and more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. I did a little research, and recent research, last year, fewer than half of Americans say that they pray each day. And there are only 19% of Americans who belong to a prayer group. So if you do, just think you're in the minority. Now that's all Americans. But those who say they're Christians, 60% only pray daily. And 13% of the people who claim to be Christians say they seldom or never pray. That's kind of startling. But the truth is, prayer meetings are generally the least attended meetings in the church. And there are some churches who have even given up on having prayer meetings because of that. So my first question is, what makes Christians, now we're not talking about people who don't know the Lord, but what makes Christians reluctant to pray? What do you think? Don't know how? Yeah, the disciples went to Jesus and said, teach us. Okay, there is that, you know, the religious aspect of it. It's got to be a very formal, there's got to be a scheduled way to do it, and And some people think you can only pray in church. It's true. What else? Why else might people, Christians, be reluctant to pray? Fear? Explain that. Okay, especially.
They're at the grocery store, fear of being judged.
Okay, fear of being judged if perhaps you're praying in a public place. Yes, it's true. Even in churches, there are some, you know, I'm not talking children. I mean, their children do a great job. But some adults are just afraid to pray out loud in front of somebody else, thinking that their prayers aren't good enough or aren't fancy enough or aren't whatever. And sometimes the prayers that are the, we would view as big and fancy are the ones that probably are the least effective. When you get right down to it, if you're trying to put on a show with prayer, that would be a bad, bad thing anyway. Oh, they think it's a job of the pastor to pray and nobody else. Yeah, that's what we pay the pastor for, to pray. I did not see that in the job description. Yeah, and that's one of the reasons that I encourage you to pray for each other rather than having you come to me for prayer. I'm always happy to pray with people, but we have to know that we can pray. And part of it can be a religious hangover. That's not exactly the correct term, but something that has hung over from religious backgrounds are thinking that regular people can't pray. Has prayer ever felt overwhelming to you? That it's like there's so much that needs prayer that I just can't even start because, You know, it says pray without ceasing. I would really be praying all day long and every day, every minute, if I tried to pray for everything that needs prayer. That's why God gives us the Holy Spirit, to tell us what to pray for. You've hit on something that is very true. I can say really that even way back in the dark ages when I was saved and came to this church, there wasn't really a discipleship program. It was just, you just were in with other believers and were supposed to catch on. And I think that is true today, but there is a move towards that realization, exactly what Mary said, a lack of discipleship and teaching, and how to shift into that, you know, what does Jesus say? Go and make disciples. And that really has not been a focus of the church. I'm reading a book now that you should bring that up, on how to shift and get an atmosphere to realize that's what we're supposed to be doing. So part of it is people just don't know exactly how to pray. We know who to pray to, or it's overwhelming to think of it, or some people think, well, my prayers don't get answered, so prayer doesn't work. I have heard that. Because God doesn't do what I want him to do, prayer doesn't work. I think we talked about that in regard to faith last week. Faith is not something that is measurable, and when I get enough faith, then I can force God to do what I want. We probably wouldn't say it that bluntly, but, you know, there has been some of that. We know God wants us to pray. Philippians 4:8 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So he wants us to pray. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and doors will be open to you. Now, as an introduction on what I'm going to say, I want to make it clear we are not trying today to find a recipe for prayer. There is no recipe, okay? There shouldn't be a recipe. You know, the closest thing that we have is when Jesus told his disciples, pray like this, and he gave them what we call today the Lord's Prayer. Now, that's a beautiful prayer, but I don't think that Jesus meant for us to say those exact words every time we pray. And I'm not critical of people who pray that, because if we're praying it, you know, God likes to hear our voice. You know, no one also, I don't want anybody to be condemned about anything that we're talking about today. The goal today is not to bring correction, but to bring power and to enhance our prayers, to make us more effective, to learn things that perhaps that will make our prayers more effective, use authority when we pray. But it's not to bring any condemning. There is no, well, I shouldn't say that, because there are some prayers that are wrong. For example, we can't pray for God to do things that we're supposed to do. God, make me want to go to church. God, stir up the gifts you've given me. We can't say that, because God said to you specifically, you stir up the gifts. you know, I have to want some things. I can say, God changed my heart, God help me. But I hear a lot of people pray for things that God will never do, because he's not going to violate free will. So we do have to be careful. Rather than say, God, I'm here, I'm available, I want to hear your voice, instead of saying, God, make me hear your voice. You know, make me love you. We can say, Lord, I want to love you more. I want to know you more. Sometimes it's just the way we say it. So nobody feels condemned. We're not saying we have problems in prayer, but we don't want to ever be those Christians who give up on prayer or get frustrated with prayer. So I want you to think of these prayer points today as suggestions, things from the Word that can increase the power of our prayers. Because the truth is, God loves to talk to you and hear you talk to him. And so the fear of I'm not doing it right needs to be gone. I went this weekend on Friday, my great nephew is in a play, The Fiddler on the Roof. Everybody knows that story. And the one thing I like about it is the way the main character, Tevye, just talks to God normally. He just converses with God. And that's good. That's where it starts, conversation with God. Now, one of the things he did was really bad on is really quoting the Bible. You know, the good book says, and it was always, the good book never said that. But, you know, that was kind of the humor in it. But it was, it just reminded me of that. It's like, that's how our relationship would be with God. Just start communicating, you know, with God. Talk to God. And a piece that we miss, and we're going to talk about this later, is how do you listen? Actually, that kind of is one of the prayer points. No. James 1:6 says this: when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Now, I chose this particular version of the verse because I think it's a really good translation of it. And sometimes when we pray, we think faith has to be in the answer we want. Does that make sense? I'm going to pray for healing, and my faith is going to be in receiving healing. But wait a minute, this verse says, where's my faith supposed to be? In God alone. Even if I shift it to an event or a circumstance I want, that's a little bit, I mean, this may be strange to hear, but it shifts it a little bit, because do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty. So, in other words, when I come to God with a request, I have faith in God that he's going to do the right thing. Not that he's going to do what I want him to do. That's not faith. That's why some people stop praying, because they don't get the answer they want. But our faith, this is prayer point number one, we must have faith in God alone. And realize that he is sovereign. He's not always going to give me what I want. He's not a vending machine where I put in a certain amount of prayer or faith and then out comes exactly what I want. But we have to have faith enough in him that however he chooses to answer us, we can trust that answer. It's good to ask ourselves, where is my faith? What kind of faith do I have? Is it believing God because he is who he says he is? We had the verse last week. That's a first step. We have to believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have to believe that about God. Now, that doesn't mean how he rewards me is how I want to be rewarded. Have you ever prayed about something and what happened was way different than what you wanted? But maybe it took a year or 2 years or 5 or 10, and all of a sudden you realize that was the right answer. Because what God gives us is always the right answer. Now, James talks about prayer a bit, and he went on to explain that it is possible to pray incorrectly. James 4, verses 2 and 3, the last part of 2 says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. So there's one problem. We need to ask God. And then he says, and even when you do ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. It's obvious if we don't ask, we're not going to receive. Although God knows our needs, he still wants us to ask. But what is James saying here in verse 3 that we need to remember about our prayers? Our motive in praying is extremely important. That's prayer point number 2. Pray with the proper motive. Well, what is that proper motive? Am I not supposed to pray for what I want? Yes and no. What is my motivation in praying for what I want? Because I want stuff. Or do I want some things to be able to use for God? Now, if I'm in financial trouble and I need to pay my bills, there's nothing wrong with praying for for help. Most of the time in my situation, it's more wisdom on how to use my finances and how to spend my finances rather than God give me more money. You know, I've heard stories of how, you know, people just go to their door and there's an envelope and it's got hundreds of dollars in it. Never happened to me. When I have asked for financial help, he shows me where I have been less than a good steward, shall we say, with what he has given me, and assured me I don't need more, I just need wisdom on how to use what he has given me. I'm convinced that if God's people truly understood the power of prayer and the relationship God wants with us in prayer, we'd pray more, and that includes me. Because God wants, we know he created us for relationship, and we say Christianity is about relationship. Well, how do you have relationship if you don't talk to the person? If we don't talk to God, we don't have a relationship. That's a little bit scary. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. So there's the catch to get prayers answered. What is it? Pray praying in His will. Now that opens up a whole new study. How do I know the will of God? It starts out with knowing what He said in His word. His written word, that's His will, and you can start there. John 17, absolutely. one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, that Jesus, before He was going to the cross, listened to what He prayed and how He prayed and what He said. That is very good place to start. So our prayer point number 3 is pray according to God's will. If we want more power in prayers, we have to find God's will and pray that into our situation. There's nothing wrong with a prayer list. It's how you use that list. I want you to look at things a little bit from God's perspective. He's our Heavenly Father, and He wants us to pray. We know that. But maybe because of lack of teaching or whatever else, how much of, just think about it personally, how much of your prayer time is just spent giving God a list of things you want Him to do, either for you or for others? Isn't that the purpose of prayer, though? Once again, yes and no. God tells us to ask, but getting our needs met is not the main or the only reason God wants us to pray. Now let's think about this in the natural example. We've got some parents here. Think about this. Your kids, either in the morning or at night, come to you with a list of things they want you to do for them. And that's the only conversation you have with your children. Would you call that a good relationship? So I don't think it's a leap to say most people's prayer problems aren't really prayer problems. Their relationship problems. The Father wants a relationship with us. I mean, that's Christianity 101. Now, how do we get that relationship? It's not one time saying a prayer, confessing your sins, and accepting Him as your Lord and Savior. That is the first prayer you pray. And again, I think Mary is right. We haven't done a good job in saying, now, this opens up an amazing relationship for you. You can talk to God now as His kid, as His son or as His daughter. Now, some of us have not had, like my father really didn't talk much. and so I didn't really have that example. I mean, I would have wanted to talk with Him more, but we have a Heavenly Father who wants to talk with us. Think of how frustrating it can be. Not that any of us have any people in this church who are like this, but you have a conversation with someone and you never get to say anything. Anybody know anybody like that? We've got a mirror up there. You know, think about how God, He has feelings. Think about what His response is. You come to Him morning, noon, whenever your special prayer time is. You get your list and or a list of complaints about the world or other people or whatever, yourself, and then you give Him a list of what you want Him to do, and you say, "Okay, I'm off. I'm going on my day now." And I think we do that because we don't understand truly how to listen in prayer. It has to do, we're getting kind of in the meat of what I want us to understand today, is our position of authority. Understanding authority will help us to understand prayer more, because prayer is a matter of authority. It's God's will, and it's a matter of understanding our authority. So what authority do we have when we pray? Do we have all of God's authority? Okay, I see a few shaking heads and somebody brave enough to say no. That's true. If we had all of God's authority, we wouldn't need God. Right? So let's figure out what authority I have. And we have to go all the way back to Genesis, so grab a Bible. Genesis chapter 1. Starting at verse 26, God decided to make people and to give them authority. So reading at verse 26, I'm in the NIV today. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, and male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves on the ground." What authority did God give humans? Basically the whole earth, right? Didn't he say that? Yeah, his creation. Especially he mentions animals and, you know, whatever. Some of us are still trying to have dominion over our animals. But sometimes they have dominion over us. So there's authority that we have in this earth. Now, I may rattle a few doctrinal cages, but did that authority get removed and transferred to the devil when sin entered the world? I have heard that taught. I don't believe it. I don't see it in the Word. We're not going to go there. Well, maybe we will go there. In Genesis chapter 3 in the fall, check out what God says. He does not remove the dominion or the authority. Now, sin changed everything, but I don't think it changed that. I don't see that it changed that. The serpent was cursed. God put enmity between the serpent and the woman. God cursed the ground, and mankind would now die. I don't see anything in there about you no longer have dominion. You no longer have authority. I don't see that God transferred dominion of this earth to the devil. Now, it is true, he is called at times the prince of this world. And it is true, anyone who doesn't belong to Jesus belongs to him. And he has authority in that way. Let's look at a couple other verses to back up what I'm saying. Psalm 8, 4 to 6. The psalmist says, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them what? Rulers over the works of your hands. Now this is after creation, obviously, and put everything under their feet. So we have authority, especially on things that have to do with this earth. Psalm 115, verse 16, when I saw, this is kind of when a light bulb came on, when I really understood this. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. We still have authority over things of the earth. And this is important in regard to prayer. So how does this authority work? Part of it is we don't understand that, because I hear people making proclamations or declarations just out of the blue, so to speak. This authority does not give us the power to say anything that we want, and God has to do it in regard to the things of the earth. There's an example in the New Testament with Jesus and understanding authority. You remember the centurion? Luke chapter 7, let's turn there. This is really important. And sometimes, you know, we think, oh yeah, this guy had a lot of faith. But what Jesus was really amazed at was that he understood authority. So if you remember, the centurion came to Jesus for a sick servant. And this is what happened. Let's look at it. I'm going to back up a little bit. Let's start in chapter 7, verse 3. The centurion had heard of Jesus and sent some elders and Jews to see him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves this." And so Jesus went with them. So he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Jesus talked about his faith. His faith came from the understanding of authority. The centurion had authority. Why? Where did the centurion's authority come from? Yeah, from Rome, or whoever was above him. And he then had authority over the people who were under him. This is the way it works with believers. We are under God's authority, and because of that, we have authority. The authority comes from him, and we can have that authority in prayer, but first we have to be submitted to that authority that is over us. If this centurion was just going wild and telling his servants and the soldiers to do whatever his ideas were, he would be in trouble, don't you know? He'd be recalled to Rome, and I can't imagine what would probably happen to him then. He still, because he was under authority, had a framework under which he worked his own authority. And that is probably the clearest picture of understanding our position even in prayer. We cannot just exert any authority without first submitting to God's authority. So prayer is really cooperating with God to release his authority on the earth. Does that make sense? So prayer point number four is submit to God's authority. A lot of things can happen in our life when we submit. We say God is Lord, but do I? It's like, I need to ask the Lord, where are places in my life still that I'm not submitted to you? Correct.
So is this then what you're saying, that being in him gives us that authority?
Yes, being in Christ, as I'll repeat that because for the recording, being in Christ, as Paul teaches, that's where our authority comes from. It comes from our position in him. So unbelievers don't have there are some unbelievers who pray, but they don't have the authority that we have when we pray. So prayer really starts with relationship. So if we have prayer issues, it's probably relationship issues. Has anyone ever told you you talk too much?
Maybe.
The truth is, probably most of us talk too much when we pray. If we spent time, and this is a discipline that we need to develop for powerful prayers, listening to God, hearing the voice of God. Because then if God tells us something and we pray it, what happens? God moves. Now, it's amazing to me that the sovereign God of the universe has set things up so that some things he's not going to do until his people pray for it. Now, granted, all of the events in this book are going to happen, okay? We have no power or authority to change that. But there are some things that God is waiting for us to call on him. And part of prayer is being quiet and listening. And I'm still not very good at that. I need to grow in my listening. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you don't know. Now, think about that. How many of you want to know great unsearchable things that we do not know, that only God knows? He has secrets that he wants to tell. But we have to learn to listen. There are so many times we just don't know what to pray in certain circumstances. And that's why listening is so important. And as we develop that skill in listening, it's going to flow more and more and more. That's from the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll hear his voice more and more and more. And we'll recognize his voice. There are some people who've said, I've never heard the voice of God. And that's because we expect it to sound like Charlton Heston and just blaring from the... When you hear the voice of God, who does it sound like? It sounds like you. Because God speaks in our spirits. And sometimes it's thoughts. He'll put a thought. And when I first started listening to God, I could recognize his voice when smart thoughts came to me. Then it's like, wow, I never thought of that, because it came from God. He wants to talk. He wants to move. But we have to learn how to listen. Now, the whole idea of submission works just like James again 4:7. Submit yourselves to God, then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So in that case, we understand it. I submit to God gives me authority to resist the devil. And the devil has to flee. If I don't submit to God, I can resist the devil all I want and he's going to run over me. Because he recognizes, you know, why were the demons so afraid of Jesus? They recognized his authority. And the powers of darkness should be afraid of you and me. We should never fear the devil. Not because of who I am, except who I am in the Lord. As I submit to the Lord, I get more powerful. That's very opposite of the world, isn't it? Have you realized by now most of the principles of living with the Lord are opposite of the world? When we hear what God says, then we can proclaim it. So prayer point 5 is listen, learn to listen. I have heard people make very strong proclamations about situations in prayer in which God has not spoken. The declarations may sound powerful, but if we don't have a word from God on that situation, we're just bloviating, I guess is the right word. For example, let me get really specific. Someone comes for prayer about a financial situation. Can I declare to that person that those financial issues are going to be over unless that's what God said? If God gives me a word as I'm even listening to this person's request and the Holy Spirit is saying, tell him this, pray this, I can do that. But unfortunately, too many people have proclaimed these things to people and then they don't come to pass and they think there's something wrong with God. The problem was somebody proclaimed it out of their spirit, not out of the Holy Spirit. Can I declare to a woman who wants a baby that she will have one unless I've heard that from God? Boy, that would do a lot of damage. Can I say someone is going to live and not die if God has not told me that? Yes, we always pray for healing. But we cannot declare over a person that they are not going to die of, you know, whatever terminal disease they have. Unless God has said that. That's kind of where the faith message has kind of rubbed against the truth of the word. We have a lot of authority, and authority comes from God and from hearing what he's saying. Now, we begin to hear the voice of God by this, because this is his voice. If you feel like you have trouble distinguishing when God is speaking to you in your inner spirit, start with what you know from the Word. Isn't the answer always get into the Word, know the Word? We have to become Word people. Because even now, more and more, we're going to run into people like Tevye and Fiddler of the Roof, who says, the good book says. And the good book doesn't say that at all. Because there are people, or even now I hear, just twisting, kind of perverting a little bit the word of God. And if we don't know what God said, we're going to be in trouble. So that's a way to pray as well. We can pray the word. That's very powerful, because that is praying God's authority and his will. Because the word is his will. So again, it's not like, oh, I can't pray because I don't have a word from God. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We begin by hearing his voice through the word and praying what we know. What does the Bible say about the issue? We have to make sure we're not taking the verse out of context, however. And we have to make sure that we know what the word says. Ask God, does this verse apply to this situation? It's like, that's a lot of asking and a lot of listening. But the more we do it, the better you will become at it. When you first recognize the voice of God, it gets very exciting. And to realize that God wants to speak to me. You know, the religious area says God only speaks to people in the pulpit or people with titles or people with whatever. And that's so bad. God wants to talk with every single one of his children. Hebrews 4:12 says about the word, it's alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So prayer point number 6 is pray the word. And when we begin to do that and speak the word in prayer, it also opens the door for the Lord, for us to hear the Lord more specifically in our spirit. How many of you have had the experience when you're reading the Bible and a thought comes to you about that, what you're reading? That's the voice of God. It's not, oh, I just thought of that. So then when you start to recognize that voice as you're reading the word, you will learn to recognize his voice in other situations. And to be able to distinguish between my thoughts and his thoughts. It's really an amazingly beautiful thing when you think of what God has given us. Sometimes if you just, instead of even coming with a list, just come before God and say, God, I want to understand more about what you've given me. What authority you have given me. And it's amazing. Sometimes it can be really overwhelming in a very beautiful, awesome way. If we just stop to think of who God is and how he wants you and me to be his partner. That's the last point. When we begin to think more about God and less about ourselves in prayer, it'll set us free from feeling like we have to pray for everyone and everything every time we come to him. I have gotten in the habit of saying, God, what's on your heart today? Who's on your heart today? And it's amazing how people will come to my mind. And then that's who I pray for. I mean, generally we can pray for big groups of people, but I just ask him that. Who's on your heart today? Because you see, what our goal in his life is not to get our needs met. I mean, why doesn't God just save us and beam us up to heaven? The truth is, he needs us. We have a job to do here, to advance his kingdom. Matthew chapter 6, 7 to 10. This is the Lord's Prayer. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. Now, we can get really critical of religious people who just babble off prayers. But have you ever been in a prayer meeting and somebody just goes on and on and on and we think they're really super spiritual? There's some babbling that goes on people who are not pagans. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. I can remember, this is a long time ago, but it always sticks with me, when Karen Gramke told this story about her son. His dad was sick. And so little Caleb went up to his dad, laid his hand and said, "God, do it." Perfect. Instead of, you know, we don't have to say a whole bunch of things. God doesn't hear us because we can talk a lot. So then he said, "Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." So do we have to ask? He does want us to ask, but we shouldn't have to ask in perpetuity, and that's all we do is ask God for our needs. Because if you look at how he goes on and says, pray by this pattern, which is what we call the Lord's Prayer, there's only one line in there that talks about our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. The rest of them have other topics, if you look at that. If we come to God knowing that he knows what we need, it can shorten up those need prayers. God, you know the situation I'm in, and I really need your help. Show me what to do. And then listen. It would make so much more sense, instead of this big list of long needs, that the smallest part of our prayers are listing our needs, instead of the biggest part. That prayer or that pattern also says, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that our job description? Go back to Genesis. Isn't that our job description? That his will is done on earth? His will is already done in heaven. No problem there. He asks us to pray to bring his will here. That moves his kingdom forward. How many of you have ever prayed with a prayer partner? All you married people, you better put your hands up. There is so much power, going all the way back to Genesis, in a husband and a wife praying together. But there's also power in any people praying together. That's why we have prayer meetings. Because there is like a multiplication of power when that Holy Spirit in you communicates or connects with the Holy Spirit in me. And so deep calls to deep, and so much gets done. So we have an opportunity, not this week, but next week on a Friday night, to move forward his kingdom. God is looking for prayer partners. So prayer point number 7 is partner with God. How will your view even of what we talked about today. How does your view of prayer change if you think of prayer as a partnership with God? What an awesome thing. Will you be my partner? Can I use you to get some stuff done in people's lives? Will you say yes to a partnership in prayer with our Heavenly Father? Let's stand. Father, I thank you. I believe you're moving in your people for putting a desire in our hearts for more. Putting a desire in our hearts for more of you, for more power in our lives, to see things done on this earth. And it has to be done in only one way, and that is through prayer. We can do God's work in other ways, and He directs us, but how much more practical, how much more productive, Lord, will we be when even the things we do are your idea? So, Lord, I offer myself to you, and if you feel the same way, offer yourself to the Lord today. Lord, I'm going to volunteer to be your partner. Teach me. I need to understand the authority you have given me. I need your help, Lord, in understanding this. But Lord, I am committed to learn how to pray with authority and power that you have given. Not any fake stuff, Lord. We don't want anything fake. But Lord, there's work to be done. We see it around us. We see it in our family lives. We see it in friends' lives who need you, Lord God. Use us. We volunteer this morning to be your partner. And I thank you, Lord God, that even though I don't understand why, you want to use us in this way. Bless each one now. We continue to pray for healing, for those who need a touch from you, and protection over us, Lord God, that we will not have a virus run rampant through this church, Lord God. But we pray your protection over each one of us, Lord God, and blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.